Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Friday, on a Valentine's Friday, by the way. We're glad you're with us. Look, I called an audible. You see, that was a sports term. You see that?
That was very good.
That was very good.
That was clever.
I called an audible. So I called an audible and
Omaha.
And
Omaha.
Chicks dig scars. Okay, so I called an audible and pushed the segment back a little bit to get extra time with Admiral Davis while I had him on the line. I think it was worth it. I mean, I'm pretty sure he dropped a few bombs in the middle of that are going to be newsworthy. But we got a thing we're going to do, because on Friday afternoons, you know the deal, we break it up a little bit. We set aside politics. We set aside the tone of, you know, cultural grabs and all of it. And we do a little thing we like to call JP on Sports. JP on Sports. All right, so JP is actually a co-host of his own radio show on Saturdays called Off the Bench on the Ump in Huntsville from 9 to 11 on Saturday mornings. And it is like a sports guru. And just so as you know, coming up next week, we're going to add a new podcast to the Right Side Media family. And it's going to be called Out of Right Field with JP. And it's going to be culture, commentary, and sports all wrapped together. Am I right in saying that?
That is correct. Conservative issues through a sports lens. So there you go.
I tell you what, at some point during this segment, if you want to put the new logo for your podcast up there, show the world.
Sweet.
All right, but yeah, we look forward to that. That's going to be just one more addition to the podcast lineup, the content for online, and check it all out. In the meantime, we break this segment up into two parts. The first segment is called The Three and Out. He picks the three biggest stories he thinks are out there in the world of sports as we know it. And then we come back from the break, and he has the two-minute warnings where he gets to run 2 minutes, and I got a timer and a buzzer, on anything he wants to run through on sports. All right. That's enough of me talking, dude. It's your segment. Three and out. Go.
Well, happy I Bob Eve to everybody out there that celebrates. By the way, I've seen some people talking about the Iron Bowl basketball is a lame name. The Iron Bowl is the football game. You can't call it the Iron Bowl. I think that's stupid. I think the Iron Bowl basketball is awesome. Until we have a better name to use, I've seen somebody float out there the Yellowhammer Classic, though, which is a pretty good name. Yeah, as of right now, it is the IBOB, and it is the biggest game in SEC basketball history. It's the first ever 1-2 in SEC basketball history, by the way. It's also only the 6th 1-2 between two teams in the same conference ever. It's also the first 1-2 since 2021, so it's been a little bit. And it's between Alabama and Auburn. So not only is it...
Oregon.
Roll Tide. I didn't notice the shirt I wore today.
I did notice the shirt you wore today.
So not only is it, you know, one of the few 1-2s ever, and the first in SEC is between two rivals. So I think it's fair to say that it's going to be a big, big game. College game day is going down to Tuscaloosa tomorrow, so the entire college basketball nation is going to be watching the biggest game so far this year. A couple of things that I'd like to point out for fans to watch out for. I think the two players to look out for in this game, first would be Aiden Holloway on the Alabama team, which I've talked about before. He transferred from Auburn, so that adds a lot of intrigue and storyline to this game. But also, he's been on a great roll lately. He's shooting, 42% from three this year. So he's been one of the best shooters, if not the best three-point shooter statistically in the SEC. He also is coming off of 18 points against Texas and shot 3-for-6 from three in that game. So he's coming off of a big game. So he's riding the hot hand. We'll see if it continues against his former team. But then also on the Auburn side, you got Chaney Johnson, who, by the way, former UAH player.
He transferred
to Auburn from UAH. He won Gulf South Conference Player of the Year at UAH, and he's been playing really, really well for Auburn. He's coming off the bench, but he's scored 20 points in his last game against Vandy. He shot 9-for-10 from the field, so he's like their sixth man, but he's like the perfect guy for Auburn to give Jahni Broome a break and put him in, and there's no drop-off, really. I mean, he's been playing very, very well lately, so those would be the two players I would say to watch out for in this game. And then just, you know, broad stroke game-wise, Alabama, obviously, I mean, they're a three and layup team. They're going to shoot the three and shoot the layup. So if they're coming out and they're shooting hot from three, it's going to be really hard to stop them. So Auburn really needs to run Alabama off of the three-point line in this game and force them to take hard layups to go in with Jahni Broome and Dylan Cardwell on the paint, take contested layups, make it hard on them. And then if you're Auburn, just give Jahni Broome the ball. And then if anything else goes wrong, you got guys like Tahad Pettiford and Chad Baker-Mazzara and then Chaney Johnson, obviously, off the bench. So I'd say the game plan is give it to Jahni, and then if something else goes wrong, you got pieces around him to help out there as well. So it's going to be a great game, can I just say. It's
tip off
be
time
awesome.
Is what?
3 o'clock Central Time. It'll be right in the middle of the day. I have no idea what to predict. I feel like it could go so many different ways. And yeah, then you got two great teams, you know? So if they both bring their A game, it's going to be a neck and neck game the whole way. And it's just fun. Can I just say it's just fun that, you know, the game of the year so far is between Alabama and Auburn, 1-2. It's awesome. I feel like other rivalries like Duke UNC and then you have Michigan Ohio State in football, those are kind of stuck to their sports. You know, Duke UNC football, nobody really cares. You know, Michigan Ohio State basketball, nobody really cares. But Alabama and Auburn, I feel like in all sports, is a neck and neck, fierce, competitive rivalry. So I think it's awesome that, you know, two of the best teams right now come from Alabama, and it just makes the rivalry that much better.
So let me ask you this real quick before we leave that topic. So you talked about the fact that that Bama is strong from outside the paint, they're shooting the threes and the layups, so inside and outside shots. But who has the better defense of the two? I mean, objectively speaking, which team has the better defense?
Auburn does. Okay. Objectively and statistically, Alabama has struggled to you know, not foul as much either. They've gotten better throughout the season, I would say, but still, I mean, objectively, when you got Jahni Broome and Dylan Cardwell, and then you got lengthy guys like Chad Baker-Mazzara, and then Tahad Pettiford, who's been a great defender, Auburn objectively, you know, has the better defense. But it's just, you know, like I said, it's going to come down to if Alabama is hot from three and, you know, can't really miss, like we saw against Texas, which worries me as an Alabama fan. We got all of our good threes out in that game.
but you used up all your threes.
Yeah, no, we're gonna have to take a loan from like the three bank or something for this game. But if Auburn can run Alabama off the 3-point line and make them take
layups,
loan
from the three bank. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, Jahni Broome is a presence in the paint, so run them off the three and then make them shoot layups over Broome and Cardwell.
And where are they playing?
In Alabama, in Tuscaloosa.
So they're in Tuscaloosa.
Yep.
All right.
And then the last game of the year will be in Auburn, so another big one to watch for.
Was that just the first one of your three in Alabama?
That was.
Yeah. All right, number two, what do you got?
Well, we got another pretty good rivalry matchup with Vandy and Tennessee. I feel like there's a lot of rivalry games in the conference. We got Ole Miss, Mississippi State, too, as well. But both of these teams are coming off of losses. Vandy just lost to Auburn at home, which lost the number one team. Not much to hang your head about. But then Tennessee also lost at Kentucky, which is another loss not to hang your head on. So, you know, both teams are coming off of losses. However, they're to good teams. And with a rivalry game, just like, you know, we talked about Alabama and Auburn, it's always going to be a great game, you know, between two rivalry teams and state teams. So this game will be played in Knoxville, though. So Tennessee has the home court advantage in this one. So I would expect Tennessee to win this game, honestly. Even though Vandy's a good team, we saw Tennessee bounce back from losses. Like, they lost, and then they came back and then beat Florida by 20 after losing to the same Florida team by 30 earlier in the year. So, you know, they know how to bounce back from losses, so I don't think this Kentucky loss will hurt them much at all. So I think Tennessee is going to win this one. And I don't even know what the name for this rivalry is, but the Tennessee State Championship, let's just say that, between Tennessee and Vandy, I got the Volunteers winning this one.
Okay. And you know what's crazy, though, is there was a time when if you mentioned the SEC, you had teams and you go, oh, yeah, Vandy.
Yeah.
But you can't underestimate Vandy anymore, football or basketball.
Nope. And, you know, you look at Vandy's record and you may think it's not much, but they're playing in the hardest conference in the nation, you know, so they're still a solid tournament team. And we'll see if they can pull off an upset in Knoxville. But I think the Volunteers will just be too good for them.
All right. That's two. You got time? Yes, you do. For one.
We got the All-Star weekend for NBA this weekend. We got the dunk contest. We got the three-point contest. We got the All-Star game. So, you know, the dunk contest is they got Mataz Buzelis from the Bulls, Stephon Castle from the Spurs, Andre Jackson from the Bucks, and then last year's dunk contest winner, Mac McClung from the G League, will be playing in it. I want to make the NBA All-Star Weekend great again. Let me just say that. I feel like it's been down in the dumps for a while. I think the last good dunk contest was 2016 between Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. Ever since, it's just kind of been lame. And the All-Star game in general. Remember when they actually, well, I wasn't alive, I don't think. Remember when they actually played, you know, actual like competitive games in the All-Star game? Like Kobe and MJ, where they actually played defense instead of just, you know, pickup. And we'll talk about how the ratings are so low. It's because it's just a glorified pickup game, the All-Star game. But we'll see if this year's any different. I don't know. I don't know what to expect myself. But yeah, I wish too that people would actually go to the dunk contest. Everybody's too scared to get hurt nowadays. But I mean, look back in the days, like when Vince Carter was in the dunk contest, and yeah, it was much better, I feel like, as a whole back then. So we'll see if this starts a trend. We're making the All-Star game or the All-Star weekend as a whole better. But
so it's Mazga.
Mazga.
Make All-Star great again.
Make the All-Star great again. Yes, exactly. But yeah, that is this weekend. So we'll see if it's any better than it has been as of late. But I don't know. My expectations are low for this one.
All right. Well, listen, that's three and out, the first segment of JP on Sports. Does he know his sports or what? All right, we're going to come right back. He's got time now coming up for the two-minute warnings. And my understanding is some of it's got some cultural commentary attached to it. So you guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're jumping right back in. Round two of JP on Sports. We call this the two-minute warnings. And so he's got the ability now to run 2 minutes at a time with me keeping a timer and a buzzer and just run down through the world of sports with 2 minutes spots ready. First one, go.
Well, before I get into my two-minute warning, I totally forgot to play my new sound effect. I made it just for you. It's an iBob sound effect. It's actually of Bruce Pearl. So
see. Stop it, really.
Roll Tide.
Dude, okay, and now we're going to move on to dipper number three.
But anyways, going into the first topic of the two-minute warning, I got to do a Super Bowl recap since this is the first show since the Super Bowl. Obviously, the Eagles blew out the Chiefs in that one, and Jalen Hurts ended up winning a Super Bowl MVP. I was not anticipating that at all. No matter who won, I thought it was going to be a pretty competitive game close to the end, but the Eagles' D-line just flat-out whipped the Chiefs' O-line's butt. And they weren't blitzing. They weren't doing anything special. They were just rushing forward the whole game and were just flat-out destroying them. I mean, we saw Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, both who played at Georgia, were able to get to Patrick Mahomes like crazy. He had a record high of sacks in his career, I believe, before the first half was even over. So the Eagles' defense really could have won a trophy for themselves. But Jalen Hurts played great, and he had the best game of his career, in my opinion. Passing-wise, that touchdown pass to Devontae Smith was beautiful, and that was the dagger to the game. I was happy to see Jalen Hurts get a ring after the career he's had. I mean, he's had a storybook career, and I'm glad that he was able to cap it off with the Super Bowl championship. It was awesome. And Saquon Barkley also getting his first Super Bowl ring after all of his time with the Giants. So I'm happy to see the Chiefs lose, too. How about that? Cherry on top.
Hit me some buzzer. All right. So you got it. Yeah, there you go. So I went ahead and just assumed that you burned some of your time with that silly sound effect. Let me clear the clock. Round two, 2 minute warning, go.
So I've seen a bunch of people getting upset and whining about this NIL tax exemption bill proposal in the State House. So I figured I'd give my take on it. First of all, I did some research on this. I don't know if you're aware. So the University of Alabama's athletics department brought in $235 million last year in the 2024 year. Auburn brought in $194 million for their athletic program. And also, I did even more research. So the ETF, apparently 25% of their funding is from sales tax. So that means more people in seats for these games equals more money for the state as a whole. Okay. So how about we get the best players the state can get as a whole and, you know, give Alabama a recruiting advantage in that. That doesn't mean that we can't pass other bills, you know, like tax exemptions for, you know, more important people than athletes, and also maybe getting rid of the income tax as a whole. That doesn't mean those bills can't happen just because this bill is happening. And truth be told, Alabama as a whole can't compete with the Texas oil money for NIL stuff. We're going to see all the recruits going to those type of schools if Alabama doesn't do something to get a better recruiting advantage. So I think this bill could actually benefit the state as a whole to get more money and revenue to the state as a whole. And like I said, pass other bills alongside with that tax exemption wise. But yeah, I think I'm in favor of this bill. I think, and plus also I heard, you know, Dale there in the Grand Council mentioned this will be a drop in the bucket, tax exemption wise for NIL. So I'm all for it. Those are my arguments for it.
Cogent argument. Yes. I would take issue with all of it.
You would take issue with it.
And I'll be glad to outline when I have my own time, but right now I'm on your time, and the time is up. All right, clear the clock. All right, so you went all in on the NIL. You have a tawdry sound effect using Bruce Pearl's voice out of AI, I'm sure.
If it's not AI.
And now, pray tell, what's going to happen? Go.
So it's baseball season is coming up again. We are about to embark on a spring training, and there's been a lot of eyes on the Braves spring training because both Ronald Acuna, who won the MVP in 2023, and Spencer Strider, who is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, they both had season-ending injuries last year pretty early on into the season. So Acuna tore his ACL and his other knee. The year before he won the MVP, he tore his other ACL. So now he's got two, quote, bad legs. So a lot of eyes have been on him, how he will recover. But he claims that he is about 90 to 95% to recovery and feels a lot better during this recovery than he did during his first stint as an ACL recovery. So that's always a good sign. And then also Snitker said, the Braves manager, that Spencer Strider has been progressing very well. His bullpens have looked pretty good so far, considering, you know, him still recovering from an injury. So it looks like we're going to get Spencer Strider about 6 weeks into the regular season for baseball, and then Acuna, I think, about a month into the regular season. So it looks like both guys are tracking along pretty well, which I'm excited to see them both back as a Braves fan. But we got the first Braves spring training next Saturday against the Twins, but then the first spring training game in general is this upcoming Thursday. So I always like watching these spring training games. It's fun to see. I mean, obviously you don't see many of the best players playing in them, but I mean, sunny down in Florida. I mean, I've been to a couple of spring training games as well. They're really fun. But I'm happy to see baseball is coming back. It's one of my favorite seasons to take part in because it's so long. You know, you have something to watch every night. So yeah, I'm excited to see how this Braves team can recover from having both of those guys hurt. It really hurt the Braves last year. So hopefully they'll make a full recovery back for this year.
Well, you are non-controversial in that two-minute warning. That was, and you got about 10 seconds left. I will say this. There's something about a ballpark under the lights.
Mm-hmm.
There just is. There's like the whole Field of Dreams kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Hit the buzzer. There it is.
Here comes the music. There's my
and
buzzer.
There's the music. That's it. JP on sports. Ran it right through the wire. Oh, all the way into the red zone. Okay, that's JP on sports every Friday coming up next week. New podcast coming. Yeah, check it out. It's going to be Out of Right Field with JP. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming up next. Getting some text messages and catching up. Y'all stay tuned.